It's time for our weekly chat with National Party MP Christopher Luxon.
This week, the National Party released a plan outlining how they would deal with COVID-19, particularly around lockdowns and vaccinations. I spoke to National MP Christopher Luxon as part of our weekly chat about the proposal and how we can get more people vaccinated and whether he sees a way out of the current lockdown. I started by asking about the proposal, which is split into three sections.
The first part was really what we called an invest phase, and that was really around how do we supercharge the vaccine rollout, get vaccine boosters, upgrade our contact tracing, just some really good things, saliva testing at the border, rapid tests for essential workers, have a dedicated COVID-19 agency actually managing all of this, build purpose-built quarantine, digital app for vaccination authentication, which is a critical thing, and other countries have been doing that quite well. The second bit that you allude to was then really what we called the evolve pillar, and that was really around saying, you know, what does it take to end our reliance on sort of economically damaging and, you know, socially damaging, I would put it to you, lockdowns. And the view is that when we reach a 70 to 75% vaccination milestone, we can then pursue elimination without having to have nationwide lockdowns. And then the next phase was really around sort of opening up phase, was saying, well, look, when we get to 85, 90% of the 12 plus population being fully vaccinated and we've got a high vaccination rate, coupled with those things that we talked about at the beginning, you know, those 10 things that we want to do investments in, we can actually change the strategy to a vigorous suppression strategy. And that's really very much the case. And then sort of as a result, you'd have a traffic light system of countries that were from, you know, low risk, medium risk and high risk countries as to how you might enable travel to happen at that point in time.
So the government recently had some data around vaccination rates and what that would sort of lead to. One of the researchers, Sean Hendy, was saying vaccination of 80% of over 12s would still see 7,000 New Zealanders die over the course of a year, and over 5,500 people would be hospitalised at the peak of the outbreak. When you talk about the 70% or the 75% that National wants before we open the borders, is that good enough?
Well, we're not opening the borders at 70, 75%. What we're saying is 70 to 75% would mean that we wouldn't need lockdowns. What we're saying is at 85 to 90%, then you would start to open the borders, but you'd do it in a very smart way and in a risk management way. And so we're not being reckless here, but we're also acknowledging that actually, you know, as you're seeing this week, it looks like COVID is in our community, right? And the question is, you know, it'll be very interesting if we still think that pursuing the elimination strategy and getting back to zero cases is actually success here. So we have been very successful over the last year. Now, I'm not meaning to knock the government or not be constructive about that. You know, I think the strategy has worked. There's been some blips, but it has worked by and large. But we are now in quite a different place in 2021, and it turns out we've arrived at 2021 not really in shape to deal with the next phase, or you've used the time well to prepare for what's coming next and to get organised and to get ready. And other countries are doing it, and they're moving on and moving forward.
At this point, to me, it appears that although New Zealand took a while to get vaccines, we currently have enough vaccines, and the issue is more that we don't have enough people taking the vaccines. How is National's plan going to address this? Because vaccination rates have slowed pretty considerably over the past week or so.
Yeah, they have. I mean, to run at the best in the world, which was Israel, on a per capita basis, New Zealand needs to be doing 80,000 injections each and every day, every week, for every month. And that's what the Israelis managed to achieve when they got their country vaccinated in a very short period of time earlier in the year. We've had one, a couple of times we've hit 90,000, we were at 80,000 a couple of times, but, you know, in recent times I think we've been around 25,000 in some days on vaccination. So really what that's saying to us is, look, we need to keep pushing forward, we need to keep unlocking ways to get vaccines to those vulnerable communities and to those vectors and get the communications right.
Can you give some examples of the specific things that the government isn't doing right now but you would like to see?
Well, look, we've introduced one or two buses, right? to go around the communities to talk to, just in this last week, and we've made it a big whoop-de-doo and go, well, why haven't we been doing that for some period of time? We could make much better use of door-to-door, focusing on the high-risk communities. We could be vaccinating people in MIQs. We could be using incentives. We could be using incentives with young people, with Māori, we could complete vaccinating the very vulnerable people and closing that out. We need to be geared up for vaccinating 12-plus year-olds in schools before the end of the year, not let that run into next year. We need to be ready to go that when a vaccine is available and is safe with 5 to 11-year-olds, we've got that. We need to have mandated COVID-19 healthcare worker vaccination. These are real basic things. They're just tasks that you need to get done and delivered. And they haven't been done. And so we make, all this week we've been talking about buses and shot cousin, shot bro, and it's all very lovely and all very good. Could have been happening over the last, 10 months, I would put it to you, for a long period of time.
Are you confident that these hard-to-reach communities, particularly Māori and Pacifica, where vaccination rates are a lot lower than
Pākehā people
or Asian people, for example, and young people, are you confident that we're going to get there eventually?
I would really hope so, because I think the mistake the government made is they took a very centralised approach to the COVID rollout of these initiatives, and they didn't use enough of the organisations on the ground that had deep relationships with those communities initially. This is something, again, that could have happened a while ago, and that's a mentality in the government around believing they know best, centralise things, run everything from Wellington, whereas actually using local organisations that have the relationships, have the connectivity, like the churches, like other organisations that are doing great work in those communities. We're starting to use them now, and that's great, and so we've got to keep pushing for that and continue to do that, but we've got a long way to go. And then ultimately you get to a point where you say, right, we've communicated this every which way we possibly can, we've given everyone the opportunity, still exists, but you can't now hold up a whole country on the proviso of a few who are choosing not to get vaccinated. We will make sure that if you get sick, we've got the best treatments possible, the best ICU facilities we can. We'll do everything we can to do that really well. But you've then got to move the country forward, and that's really important.
And so speaking of this sort of personal choice to take the vaccine or not, there are also personal choices for businesses and vaccinated people. Should businesses be allowed to refuse unvaccinated people from going to their restaurant, for example, or a particular shop?
Yeah, well, that's, as I said last week, is that those are issues that really there are obligations on businesses around workplace safety and health and safety issues in general. And so for a lot of them, they don't want to have a risk that they're impacting their customers. For many people buying services from other businesses, they want to make sure that they're getting, those services delivered from vaccinated people. And so those are going to be decisions left for businesses to make those decisions.
So businesses, if they wanted to, should be able to have the right to refuse unvaccinated people.
Yeah, because there's a human right, right? There's a human right that 49 out of those 50 workers, may or may, who are vaccinated, have a right to make sure they're in a safe environment as well. And so that should be left for workers, for businesses to determine, listen, if I've got frontline staff that are interfacing with customers, we want them safe, we want those employees safe, we want our customers safe, and so they should be able free to make their choices as they wish. And so I think, that's what we've got. That's why personal responsibility is a really big responsibility we each have as a citizen in New Zealand. It's not just all about give me, what do I get from this, what do I take from the government or from New Zealanders or my fellow citizens. We also have responsibilities on this, not just rights. And so that's sort of where we are.
One final question. Judith Collins was speaking about potentially moving alert levels this week, and she said you're sort of starting to see people not following lockdown anymore. Do you think this is a potentially risky thing for her to be talking about, potentially normalising people not following level 3 guidelines?
My view is, people need to follow the guidelines as they can. What I can tell you, though, is it's been the longest lockdown we've had, and people are getting a bit over it, and they can't quite see where the strategy is and where we're going to next. And if you want to continue to pursue an elimination strategy, believing that that's the only strategy that's in town, and that's what the government's saying today, that we're going to go back to zero cases, that is, I don't think, facing up to reality, which is that ultimately, at some point, we need to move from an elimination to a vigorous suppression strategy.
Do you think that language at all sort of could not endorse, but encourage it?
No endorsement. No, that's a, I think, a poor representation of what she's saying, and she's not saying that. She's just saying we need clarity around where we're going, because people, you know, as you, you know, and you've seen it on the news. You know, the news this week was reporting people down at, you know, Mission Bay Beach, clearly not masked, over it. Obviously, their bubbles starting to blend, all those sorts of things, and that's not good. We're not endorsing that or condoning that behaviour at all. What we're saying is, we need people to follow the rules at the moment, and to respect the lockdowns. But we also need this government to actually work out where we're going next, because people are saying, hey, listen, this elimination strategy, as we've seen in 195 countries around the world, that looks a pretty tough thing to be maintaining. And when you can't think of any other ideas to get the country and get the people moving.
That was National Party MP Christopher Luxon. You're listening to The Wire on 95 BFM.